right, let's turn to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 9 tonight. Matthew chapter number 9, real blessing to be back with you here at the church and your pastor. We appreciate the accommodations and the hospitality that we already receive here in Australia, and been a blessing to see some folk we've known for a while and then be able to make new acquaintance. And Sawyer and I have had a good time as we've traveled throughout Australia. It's been a very diverse and different opportunities, all kind of different situations. And I'll be honest with you, we haven't let any grass grow under our feet, and my throat is hoarse. I preached 13 times in 3 days in one place, and so we appreciate the Lord giving us the strength and grace to do what we need to do. We do covet your prayers as we'll finish up here in a couple of days in Australia, and then we'll head back to the States and continue our ministry in evangelism as we proclaim the message. I've had a lot of people ask me, what are you doing in Australia? And I just reply, I'm telling people how good Jesus is. And that's the bottom line, to tell people how good our Lord and our Savior is. I'll ask you to stand tonight. We'll reverence God's word together in its reading. Verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, for liberty, power, and strength to be able to preach tonight. And I ask you, Lord, that it might not just be a lecture as man unto man, but may the Holy Ghost put something deep down in a heart that would affect them for time and eternity. We do pray, God, for Australia. We pray for a spiritual awakening and a revival, especially among your church. And may that overflow stir this country up to the glory of God. Have thine own way now, and we'll thank you for what you do by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sawyer, hand me that water. Wednesday night is often prayer meeting in our churches in America, and I think so here. You do a lot of praying. And if I came to you this evening and gave you a specific prayer request to pray about, I'm sure that you would make notation of that and perhaps make mention of it. But what if the Lord Jesus could come and say to us, I have a special prayer request that I want you to remember? I'm sure that we'd take note, we'd write it down, and we'd make special supplication in regard to his prayer request. Well, we find that he has one in this scripture that I have just read. He said, I want you to pray about this. In verse number 38, he said, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I want to look at the Lord's prayer request. Now, prayer is one of the most vital elements in the life of the child of God. Many times you and I sort of lay prayer on the back chamber, but it ought to be something that's in the forefront of our mind and our heart. Now, look number one at the platform. Let's look back in verse number one. Verse number one. It says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. The Lord is going to demonstrate that which he asked prayer for. He doesn't just say, pray for laborers in the harvest. He said, I'm going to show you what I want you to do. And in this chapter, you'll find the word and coming up again and again. And if we've got English teachers here, if a student turned this chapter in, there would be red marks and X's and a notation, too many ands. But man didn't write this. God gave this to us. And these ands are those coordinating conjunctions that connect one thought, one phrase, one activity to another. Look in verse 1. And he entered into a ship, and he passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven you. And while this happened, certain scribes and Pharisees began to mock him and say, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus had to deal with them. And as soon as he dealt with them in verse number 7, and he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. And Jesus passed forth from hence, saw a man named Matthew sitting, and he called him. And here he is calling out a man to follow him. And then it says, as he sat down at meat in the house, many publicans and many sinners came to him, and he sat down and he was began to eat with them. And the Pharisees, again, they raised their head up, bring controversy to him, and ask, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And Jesus deals with them by saying, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then the Bible tells us that as he had finished that confrontation, in verse number 18, while he spake these things unto them, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So Jesus followed him and did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched him, and he stopped and healed her. The activity doesn't stop there. He continues on, and the Bible says that he went into the house where the girl was dead and raised her from the dead. And then as he came out from there, here's two blind men that come up to him, and he's ministering to them. He's actively working on their behalf and opening their eyes. And then the Bible says that after these were healed, that his fame went throughout the country. And then they brought to him the dumb man possessed with a devil, and he spake. People marveled that it had never been so in all Israel. He's continuing his labors. Jesus was not a lazy man. He was about his Father's business. He set his head as a flint toward Jerusalem and said, I'm not going to be detoured or distracted. There's nobody that ever labored like the Lord Jesus did. Verse 35, he went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'll tell you, just reading this chapter, you're almost out of breath. Sitting there listening to it, you're almost tired. Jesus is a laborer. Now, he gives us a prayer request for us to pray that the Father will raise up laborers, not lazy people, not slothful people, but people that are active about the Lord's work. That's the platform of the message. But then secondly, look at the plight of the multitude. As he's going along, in verse 36, it says that he was moved with compassion because he saw the people fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Had he not seen the multitudes before? Sure he had. But it's one thing to see something, and it's another thing to really take notice of whatever it is you're looking at. And as he looked upon them, there was a certain stirring that went on in his heart. And he had a compassion, a desire to alleviate their burden and their problems and bring them into spiritual life. And you know, we see multitudes every day. You cannot go through this town without seeing people everywhere, on the right hand and on the left. And if you're not careful, it'll get where it's just people. And you just see folk that are in your way. Move on up the traffic light. I need to get on where I'm going. And move aside. But then sometimes in our hearts, we get stirred up to understand that these people are souls that need the Lord Jesus Christ. My son, grandson Sawyer's with me. He's my oldest grandson. His dad, Matthew, came to my house one day, and he left. He went home, and he told his brother John that he had seen my daughter there. He said, "John, I saw Rebecca Bain today." John said, "You've known her since she was a young girl." He said, "No, John, I saw Rebecca Bain today." He said, "What do you mean, Matthew?" He said, "Man, I saw something in her I'd never seen before." And oh, what a blessing it is to pick up a burden for souls that you've never had before. It's not just somebody in your way. It's not another person that needs to be pushed aside, but somebody that's going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell forever and forever. And when the Lord looked on the multitudes, he saw two things. Number one, he saw sheep with no shepherd. Now, a shepherd looking on sheep takes notice of those sheep. I preached in Wales, and Mr. Raymond, he owned probably 1,000 sheep or more, And I said, "Tell me some good things about sheep so I can convey that to congregations." He said, "Well, when I go to the market, I can tell when they run the sheep through to bid on them whose sheep they are by the way they look." He said, "There's one fellow, when his sheep come through, I know it's his. You don't have to tell me. They're nasty, they're dirty, they're wormy." He said, "They're in terrible shape." He said, "We've got another shepherd, though, when his sheep come through, I know it's his. They're shorn and they're in good shape. They're worm, they're healthy, and they're bright and vibrant. And the sheep are a reflection of the shepherd." Well, the Lord knows that these people have been shepherded by the devil. And the devil's not a good shepherd. The way of the transgressor is hard. And he says, here's their condition. He said that they were fainted and scattered abroad. Fainted means to be weary, to be fatigued. It means to be full of melancholy. Yea, to pull your hair out in disgust and just about to go crazy. That's the end of where the devil takes people. I talked to a dear pastor in the south of Australia, and this lady and her two kids jumped off a bridge and committed suicide. It was a terrible thing. And the devil had been shepherding and just driving her to a place where she said, "I'm better off dead." And so many people in our generation think that there's no hope in life. And they get to the place where they say, "What's life worth living?" And I don't know if it's a high rate here or not, but it is in America. And also, when I was in France, we went to the Wall Street of Paris. And I met this guy, and he said, "I'm doing a report on the suicide rate among the investors in France. They should have everything they ever want. They should be looking at life and say, well, I don't need anything else." But it never brings what you think it'll bring. And it always leaves a person empty on the inside. And there's a fainting there. That's why the doctrine of repentance is so hopeful. Repentance means God allows U-turns. It means old things pass away, all things become new. It means that you're not stuck where you're at. And people say, "Well, I just won't ever get out of this, so I'm going to take my own..." You don't want to do that. No, because God has something much better for you. But when the devil is someone's shepherd, they're fainting and they're ready to pull their hair out many times. And they may not seem like that. They may try to cover it all over. But then as they go further and further, and I've met a lot of people when tragedy has hit their lives, that's when they came to the place where they said, "I need Jesus," and they get saved. But then not only fainting, but it says they were scattered, mangled, tore, rent, and hurt. People are hurting today. Relationships. And when you're lost and you try to have a relationship, there's natural love and all that, but that's about as far as it goes. Sawyer and I were filling up with fuel, and I went inside and spoke to the lady behind the counter and give her a little gospel tract. And she said, "I wished everybody was as nice to me as you were." I said, "Why? You're a sweet lady." She said, "Oh, you just don't know." They call it road rage. But what it is people are so in turmoil because of sin, that they're ready to launch out at somebody else. And the Bible says that these sheep were scattered out. And without a shepherd, sheep will scatter. And so the Lord said, I want you to pray about something. Pray about these sheep that need a shepherd. I stood on the tablelands yesterday, and Brother Buddy Smith took us up on the high mountain, and he began to point out regions and places. And he said, Brother Randy, it's 500 miles from here to the next Bible preaching church. And there's town after town that has nobody. And when I go through there, I see these people that they're like sheep that have no shepherd. Who's going to lead them? Who's going to tell them? And if we're not willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me, there's going to be a void somewhere. Kenneth Cates, he was a vagabond in America, very rough fella, but he got thrown in jail for cutting the heads off of parking meters, breaking them open, getting the money and buying moonshine whiskey. They caught him and put him in jail. His Aunt Mabel bailed him out after 3 days. And as they were headed to the house, he said, Kenneth, he said, I want you to go to church at the Deep Creek Baptist Church with me tonight. He said, well, she'd just bail me out of jail. I'd go anywhere. He said, went home, got cleaned up. We got in the car, drove up on the grounds. And he said, this is just like the devil. He said, I thought, I'm just as good as this church house crowd. I know all this crowd. But he said, when he came through the doors, he fell under conviction. And no word to say it except on the second row back, right where this brother's sitting. Said the old preacher preached along, gave a gospel. After he finished, he came down out of the pulpit exhorting people. So, are you saved? Son, you need to get saved. And he went back through there. He said, Aunt Mabel gouged him in the ribs and said, you need to do what he said. He said, I don't know what happened. It's like lightning hit my feet. He fell in that altar, begged God to save him. And God gloriously saved his soul. That night he went into work because his Aunt Mabel had got his job back. It was third shift. And as he walked through the door, they were all happened to be talking about who's going to hell. Oh, yeah, he's going to hell because he's running around with so-and-so's wife. Well, yeah, they're going to hell because they stole something last week. Kenneth said he walked through the door. He looked at him and laughed and said, ha, if anybody's going to hell, it's that jailbird right there. Kenneth said, I said, not going to hell anymore. Just got saved, saved, saved. Well, he worked there and he tried to go to Bible college for a little bit, but he got a burden to go to the Amazon. And he didn't know anybody or anything down there. And he prayed, but he said, I could hear the voices on the Amazon of the people saying, come and preach to us. Come and preach to us. And he said, I'll never forget jumping off my back porch, going under an old pine tree altar, saying, God, I don't know how I'll do it or how I'll learn the language or if anybody will even support me, but I'll go. He got a one-way ticket. No promise support. Went down on the Amazon. I just preached down there a little while back. Kenneth's in heaven now. But after 40 years of ministering the Word of God, there's Baptist churches all up and down that Amazon River. He reached places that nobody else had ever preached. The work's growing and going strong. And I just thought there would be a hole there, a vacuum there. If somebody didn't hear the voice and say, hey, there are sheep down here that are scattered abroad and they're going to perish if somebody is not a voice crying in the wilderness. The second thing the Lord said, he said in verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Not only sheep with no shepherd, but sheaves with no servants. To any farmer, when he grows his crops out, and it comes to harvest time. And I know in Australia they hire backpackers to come through to help them harvest the crops. And if he can't find anybody to help him and those crops perish in the field, it just does something to his heart to labor and do all that and then the crops perish. The Lord said the harvest truly is plenteous. Well, what's the problem? The laborers are few. And I'm not so naive as to know and to say that everybody's going to get saved. Few there be that save, Jesus said. But there are souls out there that will come to the Lord if you'll go after them. Sometimes we just give up too easy. But the Lord said there is a harvest. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, Jesus is weary. It shows his humanity. He's sitting by the well. He sends his disciples up to buy some food, some groceries. And while he's gone, this woman comes at midday, and she's a woman of ill repute, and the Lord strikes up a conversation with her by asking her for a drink of water. And she's surprised. How is it you being a Jew would ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria? He said, oh, if you knew who I was, you would ask for living water, and I'd give you that. And she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. And she didn't know he was the one greater than Jacob. But he continues to converse with her. And then finally she says, all right, give me this water. He said, no, not quite yet. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, I know you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And a lot of folk are not really ready to get saved, even though they may say they want to. They need to understand what a sinner they are. And if you don't get lost, you're really not going to get saved. She looked at Jesus and said, I perceive that you're a prophet. She jumps tracks and says, well, we say worship in Samaria. You say worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said worship takes place in the heart. When Messiah comes, he'll do more miracles than thee. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. As clear a testimony and a word from Jesus, I am the Messiah. And you run into all these people, oh, we believe in Jesus and all that, but well, then do you not believe what Jesus said? He said, I'm the Messiah. And on this, she left her water pot and went away. Here comes the disciples. They put the food out around the well. They pray. Good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat, let's get out of here. They're sitting around and talking, and the Lord just sitting there. He's not eating anything. One of them said, Master, eat. He said, oh, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Ah, that's what it was. If some man brought him aught to eat, that woman must have been a vendor. No, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, now I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. In their mind, they're saying, you did not. You told us to go get groceries, and we got groceries and we brought them back. He said, oh, but there's much more to it than that. I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men have already labored, and you're going to follow on the heels of that. Somebody's been here before you. And they're thinking, maybe in 4 months there might. The Lord said, you say 4 months, then the harvest. Said, lift up your eyes. Now is the harvest. They're thinking, if you were where we at, nobody in this crowd would get saved. We're just glad to get out here and hope we don't get ptomaine poisoning with the food that we eat. And upon this, they look up, and here comes that woman. And she's pointing her finger, and she said, there he is. There he is. That's the one told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? And they came down there and they began to investigate, and the Lord began to save them, and he had to stay 2 days. So many people got saved. The Lord told them, I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Now, what if those fellows were interested in more than just buying groceries? What if Peter would have said to the lady that he's purchasing bread from, ma'am, do you know who's down here at your well? Who? The Messiah. How do you know? How do I know? Oh my, he got on board my boat one day. He did something that no man could do. And what if another disciple had said, yes, and we saw when we came off the mountain, a leper ran up to him and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he cleansed him and changed his life. Oh yeah, and I saw a blind man whose eyes he opened up. Yes, and we held baskets and fed 5,000 people. He only had 5 loaves. I'm telling you, he walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, man. He's there. Really? And boy, I'd say they would have come down there. But you know what? When they went in there to buy groceries, not one word. The Lord said, I sent you to reap whereupon you bestow no labor. And it's amazing how God will send somebody before you. Witness to a fellow the other day, and he said, you know, my sister was just telling me that. Talked to a man from Japan, and he said, I don't want nothing to do with it, but I've got a sister that she's a Christian. I said, she's been praying for you. And I don't know if that was another layer that God's sending on him. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. And whatever part you are to play, play that part in this role of seeing souls saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, I understand about the sheaves and the sheep, but said, what can we do about it? Well, the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. Look in verse 38. Pray. Pray. Pray's not just the Christmas wish list. Pray's not just something you do to make sure you've done your religious duty. Prayer is communion with God and fellowship with God. And Jude said we're to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that means the Holy Spirit, He will put in your heart what you need to really make supplication over. And it'll be more than just your list. And sometimes you'll be coming down the list of your missionaries. Then all of a sudden something comes up in your soul. And boy, you begin to earnestly pray about that. And then you find out later, man, you know, they're in trouble or they're in great need there. Because God is activating that in your heart. He said, I want you to pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. Look to the one that's in charge. And I'm glad that when you can't tell others, you can tell Him. And God can influence others, and He will influence others. And what you're doing is asking the Lord of the harvest to do a work in some souls. And by the way, it's His harvest. It's not my ministry, it's His ministry. And to lay everything down at His feet and give it all to Him and say it's yours, what a comfort that is to the soul. I had a gospel tent. 3 o'clock in the morning, a friend of mine called who'd stayed with the tent, and he said, Brother Randy, storm came through, the tent just blew away. I said, has the piano been covered up? He said, yes. I said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Go get you a night's sleep. I roll over in my bed and I say, Lord, your tent just blowed away. So whatever you want to do about it tomorrow, that's what we'll do. And when you don't own anything and you've all laid it all down before Him, you say to Him, it's your harvest, Lord. It's your work. But if you'll allow me to be a part of that, I'll be glad to. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will what? Send forth laborers into His harvest. And if you look at that word send forth, it is a very forceful word. It means to put the pressure on. It means to apply a burden to the heart. This business of calling to preach or ministering or serving God is a heartfelt ministry. When God called me to preach, I didn't like public speaking. Brother Hernan, I didn't like traveling. And I didn't like meeting strange people. But I liked Jesus. And I said, Lord, if you died on the cross and did all you did for me, I will surrender to preach and I'll just leave the rest with you. Man, after God called me and settle it in my soul, then came the desire and the longing and the pressure in my heart. I couldn't do otherwise. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And that's kept me going on through these years. It'll be 50 years next year that I've been able to serve God. Been many a time I've come into home after a cold, hard night preaching, and I've looked up at the heavens and seen the stars and said, God, I wouldn't do this for any business, corporation, or money, but I'll do it for you again tomorrow night because it is for you. And when you have that heart's desire to do it for Him, and there's a pressure, and I'll tell you, young man, if God's dealing with you, you may run, but the Lord will keep that pressure on you, and you'll never be satisfied till you surrender to what God wants you to do. But what a relief it'll be when you realize He made you, the devil didn't make you. There's only one of you for all eternity. And God has a perfect match and a perfect will for your life. Young lady, the same for you or anybody. To surrender totally to God's will is the greatest thing you can know in this life, and then pursue it. And the Lord said, I want you to pray about that. The Lord of the harvest, He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. I'm going to ask you in a moment to pray this prayer. Lord, out of Good Shepherd Baptist Church, would you send forth laborers into your harvest? I was thrilled to death to hear about the churches. This church is starting in different parts of Australia. Bless my soul. And I said there's going to have to be a multiplication by godly division for souls and places to be reached. And that is the biblical pattern. And it blessed my soul, Pastor, to hear the burden that this church has picked up to do that. But in order for that to happen, somebody's going to have to say, like Isaiah of old, Lord, here am I, send me. Wherever, whenever, or however. And then do like Eliezer, and this will calm your nerves. I, being in the way the Lord led me. You don't have to look down the path and know all the ins and the outs and how it'll all come together. You just have to know that every phase and every step, the Lord will be there. He'll supply and guide and lead you in that path that He wants you to go. So I want us to stand tonight all over the building, please. There's another and attached to this chapter, verse number 1. And when He called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits. And the Bible said He sent them out. Who did He send out? He sent out the ones that He got to praying about it. You say, preacher, I can't. Good. You're on good ground. He can. And He will. If you will, surrender to that. Let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. And I want to ask you something. Would you like to come on this Wednesday night, slip down to the altar and pray this prayer that Jesus asked you to pray? I didn't ask you to pray it. Jesus asked you to pray this prayer. Lord, would you send forth laborers into your harvest right out of Good Shepherd Baptist Church? We've got a musician to come. And we've got others that just like to slip out. We really don't even need singing, to be honest with you. Is there anybody that sees the Lord high and holy and lifted up and say, Lord, here am I. I want to be a part of this, whatever it might be. It may not be to preach. It may not be to be a missionary. Maybe a teacher, maybe a deacon, maybe a witness, maybe a mechanic that loves God. But I want to be a part of this harvest coming in, Lord. I know it's there, but help me like you who saw that in a special way to see that in my heart. There are folk here already praying. Why don't you slip out right now? It's Wednesday night. It's just us. Slip out, come and call on the Lord and ask Him, saying, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? What part can I play? What role can I play? This altar ought to be full, folks. We've got young people and families that are saved and know God, but to let go and say, Lord, I don't want to just be a churchman. I don't want to just come and listen and go home. You've got something for me, and I don't want to miss that something. Folk, I cannot imagine what I would have missed out on had I stayed in my little country mountain town of Green River, North Carolina, and said, no, I'll live my own life. One day I died, and I said, for me to live is Christ. And you know, to die is gain. But I would have missed out on all the blessings that God has so abundantly bestowed upon me. Don't miss out on what God has for you. They're going to play through a couple more stanzas. God spoke to you. Slip out and come, will you? Young person, you may not even know what the Lord wants you to do, but that's not what I'm asking you to surrender to. I'm just asking you to surrender God's will, whatever it might be. And you can experience that and know that. And as life moves on, He'll develop that for you. And he'll give you that insight. My, there's nothing any better than turning loose and saying, Master of the harvest, what part of the field do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What role would you have me to play? There's still others need to slip out. God's speaking to your heart as these are praying here tonight. And I beseech you to obey the Lord.